great is the Lord. Amen. The Bible said everything that have breath, worship God, right? You have breath this tonight, worship Him. Because the breath in your lungs is because He has done that for you. One time we were dead. We were alive, but we were dead. But now we are alive to what? To worship with every breath that comes out of my mouth. Even when I take my last breath, I want the last breath to say, praise the Lord. I have arrived. If I go that route, I'm fixing to go in the rapture. But if it don't happen, hey, that's all right. A pine box will work. I won't be there anyway. Anyway, I won't lose. I'm not sure for that. So it is nice to be here tonight. It's a little warm. Oh, thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. A little warm up here, but that's all right. I'm adjusted to the warm. Just came back from Puerto Rico, so it was warmer there, and it's hot out here. You know, it's coming from paradise to hell. Oh. Yeah, it's 100 degrees today. I used to be in the army, and I served for many years, and I learned not to complain. Last time I complained, they sent me to Alaska, and I was frozen like a popsicle. So I complained again, and they sent me to Tucson. So I said, go, so you can tow out. Then we discuss it again. I didn't open my mouth anymore. I won't complain. It don't do any good. So I learned that much. So be happy, whatever situation you find yourself, whatever you find yourself, be happy. And enjoy that moment. Because I tell you, sometimes we think the grass is green on the other side. It's not. I've been there, done that. It is green as far as a new place, new people, you know, new things. But as soon as I start, as long as it was that way, it was fine. But as soon as they knew who I was, and my shortcomings, and my errors, and my mistakes, and I learned the shortcoming, the error, mistake, I was ready to go. It got too old. So I moved every 3 years. I used to move from a station to a station in the army. And I was ready to go. And I said, the next one is better. The next never was. As soon as I find out what's going on, and as soon as I find out who I was, that was the end of everything. So I need another place to start all over again, you know, all over again. So, and that's what life is. Life is full of challenge. I mean, life is a challenge. Life is a trial. It's a test. In fact, this is your proving ground. Earth is your proving ground to see, you know, if the word of God is true or not true, if there is a God or not God. You are the proof, so you got to be proven. To what? Not to you, not to God, but to everybody else, that there is a God. And the only way they're going to see it is where? In you. That's what God is trying to prove to this world, that God is true and exists and is a real God somewhere. Why do I know that? Because I feel it in my heart. And He came and He spoke to me and He made me a new creature. And how? It's all by faith. By faith. So how do you think I'm going to show it to you? By the way I live, the way I speak, and the way I talk, and the way I move. I will show you His character. I will show you His goodness. Whatever attribute God has, you are here for that. And you are going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. Let us stand just for a minute. You've been sitting down too long already, so let's read a verse, a scripture here, and then we kind of move on. Let's look at Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but says, and the violent take it by force. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to gather together to around the word. Thank you, Father, for bringing us, for giving us strength and health and ear to hear and eyesight to see, Father, tonight. Now, Father, give us what we have need of. Father, you know every heart tonight. Father, we need you. We need your word more and more every day, Father. We need to grow until we come to that headstone, Father. So, Father, we're still not finished. We're still here. So, Father, train us tonight. Give us what we have need. Father, and we give you all the glory and the honor. Father, we have needs in the body, sick and afflicted. Some are depressed. And Father, but like we heard, God, before the foundation of the world, before even he, all these things came along, there was a provided way. It was a healing. It was a lamb. Father, tonight we're claiming it. We ask you to touch the sick, the afflicted tonight, and bring them up, raise them up. Father, because like our sister David, she said she's her leg, Lord, and some people in bed afflicted with stomachache. And all, Father, those are your children's. And one thing really we want to do, we want to come to church and we want to worship you. Yeah. But we cannot do it with those kind of a bodies afflicted. So Satan, he's the one that put this thing, because he's challenged us to see what we're going to do. But regardless of what trial and what test we go through, one thing is for sure, I want to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. I want to worship God. That's what I was created for. And Satan, you had to go, because I need this body so I can bring it to church. Amen. And submit it to the word of God. Amen. And because that is going to be the actual end of things, where we can submit ourselves completely to the word and become that word. So tonight, Father, we are praying, because I know my brothers and sisters, they want to be here. And Satan is trying to block these things. But Satan, you are a loser anyway. And you cannot hold them for too long. Because God has given us all the answers that we have need and solutions to tonight. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you all these things. We ask you to open our minds and our hearts so we can receive your word tonight. Whatever you have for us is what we have need. It doesn't matter if it is a teaching, if it is a instruction, if it is rebuke. Father, you know what I have need. So I will welcome them with anticipation. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So we've been challenged everywhere we look. Last year was a challenging year for the entire world. The governments of the world, they were challenged. America was challenged. You know, the people were challenged. The business were challenged. The economy was challenged. Family was challenged. The church was challenged. And that hasn't ended yet. It seems like we are coming out, but it will never end. You will be challenged all the way. All the way until you get out of here. Every step of the way, you are going to be challenged, because Satan is the tool that God uses to challenge you. But there's a reason for that. Amen. So the churches were challenged. Even they've been challenged today. People went to jail, you know, preachers, you know. They were challenged to open, not open. How many? To abide by the law, and if not, they were challenging here in Canada, everywhere. You know, family was challenged. People got depressed, stressed, even committed suicide. Yeah. It challenged everywhere you look. There was challenge, and still, that's what it's all about. Challenge is part of life. I might as well just believe it, and let's move on. Because we'll be challenged until we leave this place. Until I leave this carcase, this body, I will be challenged. I will be challenged. And I'm glad, because I like to be challenged anyway. Okay, you think this is me or you? Okay. So here the tax collector and the harlots and the heathens, you know, listening at John the Baptist also. There were the Sadducees and the Pharisees and also the high priest. You know, they were listening at the message that John the Baptist had for them. But we had these religious leaders that they were there and they never received the message. With all the zeal and all the sincerity, they were still wrong. They would not receive the message of grace and mercy that was offered to them. But the poor and the needy and the disabled and the despised. I'm one of the despised one today. They took it. They did not, you know, doubt it. But they went and said, if that's for me, I take it. Because they had to take it. Nobody was giving it to them for free. Because they know that this is free, but it's going to cost you everything you have. But they took it. And they were predestined to do that. Because they were thirsting for righteousness. See? They were thirsting for the right things. The mercy of God in their lives. See? So they were translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they never even moved. They didn't even accept it. You know why they didn't? Because they did not think that they had to repent. Because that's what John was preaching, repent and be baptized. But they said, we don't have nothing to repent. For what? We are the called ones. We are the chosen. We are the children of God. We don't have no sin. We don't have nothing to repent. We are the children of Moses. Well, you know, that's what the religious leaders do, right? All these denominations. But they would not vouch. They would not move. So they never got chosen, even if they were chosen according to them. Matthew 21:31 says, whether of them twine did... Oh, let's see. There. Okay. They said unto him, the first says, Jesus said unto them, verily I said unto you that the publicans, not the republicans, the publicans, and the harlots... in the same category anyway, but I didn't say that. The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you, before the religious leaders. Why? Because they took it. See? They said, I want it and give it to me now. So they had to do something. They cannot just say, well, I just wait until somebody hand it out to me, or let me see if it works. Some people do that with the vaccine. Some people don't want to get vaccine. They want to see how it's going to go. You know, let me first see, you know, what's going on and see what's going to happen to everybody before, you know, make sure it's safe. Yeah. You know, they're going to be there for a while. I hope they'll be fine. But that's how some people mentality is. Well, okay, I think sounds good, but later, let me see how this is going to work. Well, these people, these poor people, the needy people, the disabled people, they had a need. And they saw a door, see? And they said, I take it. And the Pharisees said, well, let me wait and check this out. It says, so Christ himself says that the tax collector and the harlot go before you into the kingdom of God. Luke 7, 28-30 says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans again and justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. See, they didn't wait it. They got the message, and they went and get baptized as a conscience, you know, that they believe what they believe. It hasn't changed today. See? So, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Again, they rejected it. They were blind. But they said, well, we don't have no need of anything. That's how the Laodicean church this day says, I don't have no need of anything. I don't have no need to repent. I don't have no need to do. So, but you and I, when this message came, you know, I want it. I need it. Yes. And we like John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had to go and take the book. It represented the bride. Yeah. When the book came open and when the book was handed to him by the angel, he said, take it. He didn't say, you sit there, I will cut it to you. I will give it to you. Don't worry about it. You know, everything is okay. Everything is cool. So when you get ready. No, we're not ready, nothing. It was there. It was now. And I take it. And he had to go and what? And take it. And that is a significant, because you have to do something. You cannot sit all the time. When the challenge comes, you got to take it. This is not a picnic. We don't come to church just to entertain or be entertained. Every preaching that comes to this pulpit, you are challenged to do something, and you better take it. Amen. Take Job for example. You know, yeah, he was all fenced in, and Satan told God, "Hey, look at your servant Job. I mean, he got everything. I mean, you don't let me touch him. I mean, nothing happens to him. You give him everything. He's rich. He's had wisdom. I mean, wow. But you know, let me touch him, and I make him curse you. Because when I present the challenge and I get him into that challenge, I bet you he will not be able to come out of it. Because the Satan come to you and I meet all the time." So he said, God said, "Well, you know what? This is not about me. You think because I am the one that offending him and covering him and protecting him and covering through life and his family. But I'm going to prove to you, Satan, I'm going to prove to you that I know that this word will work. Amen. God, you don't have to prove God that the word works. But I'm going to prove Satan and the world that this word will work. Amen. I know what I put on that boy. And I have confidence that will work under the challenge. I don't care what challenge comes. I don't care the situation. I don't care about what you're going through, your circumstances. This word will work because it's the answer to all the challenge that Satan brings to you. But you must believe this. So his hope, you know, and everything's going well for him. He reads his Bible. He goes to church. He prays. He sings. The choir, he's doing all these things, and everything is going, you know, fine. Well, when all is going fine, what happened? Well, there's no challenge, there's no what, but there's no need to worry about anything. Why? No, see, God is going to do. Yeah, God will do. But you need to be tested. Yes. You need to know that the word that is in you will work. Yes. Every one of you need to know that word in you will work. Amen. I don't care how much I tell you that it works. You have to experience that. Yes. From the smaller one to the biggest one. You have to have experience with God. Because my experience is not going to carry you. You have to have your own experience. So it can carry you. So he said, "Well, okay, let me add him. Yeah, okay, you can touch him. Do everything. Don't touch his life." That was a challenge. He lost everything. Wife, not at least not the wife, but the children, had the servants, everything that he had. Now, how many of you have lost everything so far? I lost some things in my life. I got a trailer that burned out one time, and I lost everything. I was in Kentucky. It was cold. I wasn't married yet. I was just in the army, 19, 20 years old. I was in Kentucky, and it was cold. They sent me there. They always sending me to those cold places. You know, I'm from Puerto Rico. I want to go to an island. The army really knows me. No, not to Puerto Rico. So I was in Kentucky. It was cold. And it's a cold that goes right through your bone because it's wet cold. It's not like Alaska. See, sending me to cold places, dry. So I was sleeping outside in a trailer, outpost, and it was an old trailer, you know, people always renting their trailers for military and things like that. And I was tired that afternoon. I got home and I got in, fill up the tub with hot water, you know, and I just want to relax and, you know, and take it easy. And next thing I know, I'm bathing and, you know, and I start smelling smoke. And the more I looked, the more I could see the smoke all over the trailer. And I went and ran outside with whatever I had. That was nothing. But I grabbed something and I put on coal. And I'm out there naked. And, you know, well, I covered myself, my parts. But then I went out. It's just a true story. I'm not lying to you guys. I would never lie to you. So here comes the... I couldn't even take nothing. It was too fast. Those trailers, they're just like matchboxes. They burn like, I couldn't even have time to go and pick up anything but something just to cover myself. So I'm outside waiting for the fire department. They got there and everybody and all the neighbors. Oh, man, that's embarrassing, you know. because everybody comes to, and you end up with no clothes and cold. And nobody even offered me a coat. Or, oh, look at this poor guy, freezing. But I didn't feel anything. I was pumping, you know, the adrenaline. I didn't feel it. So finally, you know, the fire department said, we can do nothing. Let him burn. Let him burn out. So I lost everything. So I had to start all over again. All my clothes, whatever little bit I had, I lost it all. Anyway, that wasn't the first time, but I lost many things throughout the years in different ways. But anyway, this is not about my life, but I had never lost everything. You know, I have never lost, you know, if I was unmarried, I never lost wife or children, so properties or houses or car, you know? So I don't know what Job went through. I mean, he's a challenge, a new challenge. He was never challenged. Now, you can think about you, he was never challenged. Suddenly, he comes a challenge, you know? And what he needs to do, he don't know. Like you and me, every time something happened that it had no precedence and it had nothing, and it's a first, you don't know what to do because you don't know, never done it, never went through this situation, and you don't know what to do. But see, that is the beauty of everything. Because sometimes it's better that you don't know anything because he's going to take care of everything. But you have to be in that position where you get to a point that you can do nothing but surrender to God. And that's why God wants it sometimes that way. Because if you can help yourself or somebody can help you, then God cannot help you. God sometimes has to bring you to the point that you are completely broken. Broken. That you know that if you don't come, I die. Lord, if you don't come and give me the Holy Ghost, I die right here. You got to the point that it just nothing else can do for you. But there's a God. That's the only solution you got. And we, at some point, you and I will be in there. Somehow. Different experiences, but I've been there. Job was there. But see, God knew what was in him. The word of life was there. And God trusted that. And you know that God will trust you with the word. What do you think you're here? You're not here because, you know, it's a picnic and there's nothing to do, you know, and you enjoy fellowship. We enjoy fellowship. You're here because God entrusted you with something. You are an attribute of God from before the foundation. And God has entrusted you with a word. Amen. For your day. For this age. You are your it. You are that word manifested in flesh. And he has entrusted you with that. And that is a big thing. It's not something you can take lightly. But Satan is going to challenge you. Because you need to be tested. Because you need to know what is there. And then you have to have confidence in what God has put in there. And you want to know what God put in there, you take the Bible. You know what is there. His word, his will is what is inside there. And not only the word, but he put the word and he also helped you. He give you the power. The Holy Spirit give you the power to live that life. So that means there's no way you can lose. Satan will, he unleashed Satan on you. You have a challenge, but God already has what? The answer to that challenge. Amen. See, but God wants you to trust that. Nobody likes to go through challenges. But how are you going to gain character? Character is a victory. Character is not going to be handed out to you. Oh, but you know, Carlos, he's so good. He never missed church. He's tithing. I mean, record is impeccable. That don't work. If that works, then everybody can make it. But God wants to ensure that you understand what this is all about. It is you and God. So, Paul, just, we know the story how he ended. He never cursed. He didn't know what thing was happening. He cursed his day, how he was born, his birthday and everything. And I tell you what, and his wife kind of, you know, started pushing buttons, and not even that, because Satan, you know, always uses whatever is closer to you. Right. Your wife and your husband. But remember, it's not her, it's not him. Right. It's Satan. So don't get on your wife and don't get on your husband. It's not him. Go get down on your knees and get down to pray that spirit off. Because that's what Peter did, the same thing. No, you're not going to die over my dead body. Well, if that's what it takes, you will be dead. But that's not what God wanted. See? He didn't know what he was saying. It wasn't him. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. That, he wasn't calling him Satan. It was Satan that was putting all this stuff in his brains. So if you're going to point at something, point at Satan and pray that God will, you know, do something. Maybe your child, or maybe your husband, or your spouse. Maybe you don't like the way things are were said, but it's not your wife, it's not your child. Just get down and pray. Amen. That God will change the spirit. Move on the spirit. Because God has put something better in there. And it needs to shine. Anyway, so we know the end of the story. He went to a challenge. And we all go through challenge. So, one thing about challenges, and let me read here, Luke 14:26. Any man come to me and hate not what? Father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters. Wow. The whole family. Say, oh, wait a minute. And his own what? Life. He cannot be my what? My disciple. So even if the challenge means death, your life, they took it. They took it. They, you know why? Because they overcome by what? By the blood, by the testimony about not caring about their life unto death. So because one, we come to Christ, we got life. It's life eternal. You cannot die no more than God can die. So who is afraid of death? It's just a buggy to take me home. So one, they accepted God. One, they took, you know, salvation and accepted salvation and then understood the significance of this salvation. They didn't care about death. They didn't care about dying. And you and I, the same way, we are here. We don't care about dying for this message, for this word. If it comes to that, don't care. And we had to. Physically, they had to die in the age of the ox. People were murdered. People were tested. Physically tested, but you and I, we're not tested physically. We are tested right here because the Bible said, he said, you need to die to yourself. Because if you don't die, there's no life. If the seed falls in the ground and don't die, there's no life. So maybe we don't have to die. This is the worst age of, because everything is what? Mentally. Satan used the mind. But die what? Oh, well, I died 40 years ago when I received the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah? According to his says, to die daily. So you have to die every day to yourself. And God is going to make sure that you be challenged every day. Because you need to understand that every day and every day, every day, it should be less and less and less and less and less until you are completely what? Dead. And it's no longer you, it's no longer me, but it's him in us. How long is it going to take? I don't know. You know where you are. I don't know where I am. I know you don't know where I am, but I know where I am. But the challenge is there. So if one day you wake up and you need to go back to bed because things are turning out to be, you know, the way you want it, it's better to go back to bed and start all over again. Well, just take the challenge. Because you are being proved. Prove what? That the word of God works. Amen. Works in every situation, in any case. So, Satan don't got nothing, but it's just a tool to test you. So, challenges. And Luke 31:35 says, and the Lord said, whereunto they, let me get my glasses on because that's what happened. Shall I liken the men unto of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have pipe unto you. Well, they do pipe when they do weddings, you know, they music and things like that. And you have not danced. That's where they dance, in weddings and music. And we have mourn. That's when somebody died, a funeral, you know. So, and he says, you have mourn and you have not wept. So, I don't care, you know. You said that, you complain regardless. You happy and you complain. You mourning and you complain. You're not happy either way. And that's why some people are. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we go through the day and things get hard and we complain. And then things get too good and we complain because it's too good. We can't believe it. You know, you got something under your leaf. Why are you being so nice to me? Sometimes when I wake up in the morning and nothing hurt, I said, there's something wrong. Because I wake up with a pain. I said, no, there must be something wrong with me. I must be dead or something. I don't feel anything. So in happiness and in sadness, they are not happy. It says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread or drinking wine. And you said they had a devil. Then he says, like Son of Man come eating and drinking. And you said, behold, it's a glutton man. So, you know, first you complain because John the Baptist, he didn't eat. And now I come and you complain because I eat. And that's what happened to some people at church. It doesn't matter what you give, it doesn't matter what you said, they complain. They're not happy in any, you know, place, in any situation. So that's what the Pharisees said. Said, well, they were not going to accept God. And you know, when they're not going to accept God and somebody's not going to take the word of God, and they're going to make, they're going to complain about everything. They're going to make excuses. It's too hot. It's too cold. You know? My mom, she just turned 100, and she complains. She don't complain for complaining, but she's so old, she don't have muscles. She's flaccid. She just... And then she's cold. So we turn the AC off. And then she complains, well, she's hot. So we turn the thing back on. And I don't know, she complains about everything. But it's not because she wants to. It's because she don't find the right, you know, place to be. Just like me. You know, Alaska, I hated it. Tucson, I hated it. And I tell my wife, I would like to find me a place that I am just the way I like it. Well, I'm not going to find it. When I get to heaven, it will be exactly correct. See, that's why you're not comfortable. If you get too comfortable, then you relax. And if you relax, this is the age of relaxing. God don't want you to relax. So sometimes things come one way, and then you pray about it, and then it gets worse, or something else comes. It doesn't matter. This is challenging times, and you are being challenged. And this is not the time to relax. In fact, Brother Doug was preaching that this is the end of all things. We come. This is the last of the race, those 5 miles of that marathon. This is not the time to relax. This is not a time to be, you know, care about things of life and not even other things. This is the time to take focus and concentrate on the goal. In fact, you have to give everything you have. Whatever you have left, that is going to take, and even more. There's no time to relax. It is time to go and take your portion, your reward. You need to go and take it. It says, but then it says, but wisdom, 35, is justified of all her children. Now, Brother Branham says over here in the trumpet give us uncertain sound. Now, army, war, is always been war. See, the violence, take the kingdom by force. This is not a picnic. He says, we never join church or come into the church to come to a picnic. See, or to be entertained. We must realize we are coming to a battleground. I never come for people to pat me on the back and say, oh, Brother Branham, you are so wonderful person. He said, no, sir, I come there with a shield on. I don't need a shield for that. You know, when you come to church and everything is going fine and you go to work and everything's going fine, you don't need a shield. You know, Job didn't need a shield because everything was going fine. And if everything's going fine, I get worried. Because this is not the time that all things should work fine. He says, I don't need a shield for that. I come with a shield, helmet, and the armor. I come to fight. So what did you came tonight? You came to fight for what is yours, what is right for yours? Or you came to be entertained or sit? Fight every inch of what? Of ground. He says, God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot tread upon that I give to you. So footsteps mean possession. So you have to possess what is rightful yours. You're going to possess it. God is not going to hand it to you. Amen. Why? Because he wants to know if you want it or not. You know, rich people, they are born with a silver spoon on their mouth, and everything is given to them. And when you give everything to everybody, they don't care much about what you give them. See? I used to give my children and my grandchildren a lot of toys. And the toys are all over the place, all broken, and they don't even want to go out there and play with the stick, with my tools, with everything that I don't give them, they play with. And here we are buying expensive toys and tablets, and then you find and throw it around and thin a crack. Why? Because it don't cost nothing to them. It don't cost them anything. See? And that's the same thing with you and I. We're going to have to. Not that we have to earn things. But the thing is, we're going to have to fight for every inch of ground. Right. Why? Because when you do that, you care about things. Yeah. Places all your footstep that I give you, so footstep means possession. And when the church gets to a place and a compromise with creeds and compromise with the word and compromise with world, I mean, then I'm losing ground. It's taking back. What we need tonight is soldiers to possess every divine promise of the Bible. So you came here to fight. I mean, not to fight with me or your wife. You have to fight for your own. To possess what is right for yours. Life belongs to you. God gave it to you. But you're going to have to fight for it. It's going to cost you everything. He says, that God promised to the church, whole armor of God, and to stand. And it's what we need, soldiers. Not get a uniform for a dress or parade. He said, it's always different. Amen. So, you have joined a battle, and you are a soldier in the army of God today. So, where did he say that life was going to be easy? I've been in war. I know what I'm preaching about. I live this physically, and now I live in it spiritually. I know both sides of the coin. See? So, there's no time to rest. There's no time to relax. This is the time to finish the race and possess what is ours, and that's life. A change of a body. See? But you're going to have to press in. You know, don't wait on me. You're going to have to press in. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you better press in. Because nobody's going to give it to you. I'm waiting on to receiving. Well, you're going to wait on to receive in a long time. Whenever you get ready to want it and desperately want it, you know, God will create that desperation because we cannot make ourselves desperate. God has to make ourselves desperate. So, I want to go to three little elements quickly because I know it's difficult. You know, in these days, in the work environment, school, you know, things are getting very difficult. There's challenge everywhere. At work, at school, at home. You're not even safe at home any longer, you know. But God keep us. Right. But see, you don't know what's going to happen to you tonight when you walk out of this door. Would I make it home? I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm ready for whatever comes. Amen. We have to be ready and prepare. But anyway, I'm trying to scare you. Maybe nothing happens. You get home fine. But you have to be prepared. Because we're living in a hostile environment. And the challenge is there. Everything will challenge your faith. Amen. Every day your faith is being challenged. Amen. It says, Satan comes like a flood. See, flood is like a challenge. But Brother Brown said, this message says, you are the answer to that challenge. Amen. So if you are challenged every day, don't boo-hoo, boo-hoo, or oh me, oh my. Be glad that you are being challenged because God is doing something in you. See? The challenge is not what you need to concentrate. You need to concentrate in the other side of the coin. What if the word says, I'm sick, Yeah, but he said that he's my deliverer. He is my doctor. So I'm not going to concentrate on my sickness. That's what Brother Branham said. Don't look at your situation. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at the other side of the coin, because that came because it's a deliverance for you. Let me tell you, God is not going to make you sick and then don't have nothing for you. God allowed those things because there is another side of that coin. Amen. So whatever happened in your life, I don't care. It could be sickness. It could be heartbroken, or wife and husband trouble, or family troubles. I don't care what it is. You need to understand that that is come because there's something better. Amen. We don't want to concentrate in the darkness. We don't want to concentrate in Satan. Right. We need to concentrate on the other side of the coin.
Yes.
Sister, who was, it was a prayer request. I think it was your sister. See, I've been having, I don't discuss a lot of stuff with my wife because I know a prophet says, if you don't have faith, don't let the devil know, keep it to yourself. See? So sometimes things happen to me, but I don't say anything. Why? Because I'm not looking at what's happening.
Amen.
I'm looking at what's something.
Amen.
Something has a solution for my situation.
Amen.
So I concentrate in my solution.
Yes.
The challenge come. And my heart being kind of a... In fact, I took my phone, you know, my iPhone, my smartphone, smarter than me. My car is smarter than me. You know, I'm driving down and the computer is telling me, hey, wake up, take a cup of coffee. How do you know I'm sleepy? I mean, it's too smart for me anyway. Then I leave the lights on and I get a beep. Hey, dummy, you left the lights on. The keys is in there. The car is still on sometime. Anyway, these things are smarter than I am. Anyway, so I can you know, check my heart rate and I can check any fibrillations and I've been playing with that. I can check my oxygen in my blood. You know, you guys are smarter than me. You know that this do all kind of thing. So my heart been defibrillating a lot. And I know I feel it because I know when I feel the sensation. If you never have it, you don't know what I'm talking about. However, the doctor says, and I read, that everybody has these things. After 50, even gets worse. But not all of them are critical or chronic. So I, once in a while, I think I'm drinking too much coffee. That's my idea anyway. Because I think every time I drink coffee, I get my heart. So as soon as I convince myself that that's what it is, that's what I'm fine. So I started doing that about last week, and I got back from Puerto Rico, started doing it. I brought me some coffee from Puerto Rico. I think that's what it is. I was drinking American coffee, and American coffee is so soft. And anyway, I got some of that good coffee. And it's, you know, I'm missing. And the thing goes. And I said, oh, my goodness. And when you do that, my heart goes also a different sensation. And then sometimes you go. Okay. Because at the time it's happening, I start doing that. But then it goes away. After a while, you know, I don't worry about it. And my father had it, and he lived with that situation for 20-some years. They put a pacemaker. They burned half of his thyroid because they thought that was doing that. They did all kind of things to him, and he lived for 20-some more years. And finally, he went to his rest. So I know, you know, that the Satan likes to scare you. Remember that, your father? Remember your family? Remember your dad, that, or that? I said, okay, yeah, but I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the promise. I'm not looking at my situation. Because that's what Satan wanted. You know, hope, look at your situation. He knew the situation was there. I'm not saying that it's not there. I'm not being nonsensical. I know there's thing there. But I know it's there because there's something better. When Satan comes with a challenge, God raises a standard. So for you to be looking too much at the situation, you know, you're gonna be depressed. You're gonna be miserable. Because the more you look at that thing, the worse it gets. The worse it gets. Well, you're gonna die now. Well, okay. I cannot die no more than God can die. So hey, you want the body, you can have it when I'm done with it. I don't care. I don't need it. I'm tired of it myself. So where I was at. Okay. So We got difficult. It is difficult in these days. We have all kind of things. And not only have we had to deal with other people and other things, but then you have to deal with yourself. It's fine if everything was outside of me. But also, Satan works in the inside. So, and then if it wasn't that bad enough, you know, you got 200,200, you know, demons and a spirit that they're trying to get at you as well. So that's what is so difficult. That's what is a challenge. This age is the worst one. And everything that came on this other ages is all right here, packed, you know, in a nice package, and it's all here. What those spirits that chased Israel to the homeland is gonna chase you to yours. So listen, when you get up in the morning, don't think that everything is, you know, peachy and the sun is bright. It is. It's just the way you look at things, see? So, whatever the morning brings, I welcome it. Why? Because it's for my own benefit. How can that be? I don't know. Sister Debbie, you know, well, Satan don't want you to come to church, but you're here, right? Are you thinking about your food right here? That's all right, you think about your food, but you're here, right? The heart is jumping up and down. Well, hey, joy. So, but see, when we start making excuses, so we don't do certain things because this thing, I'm not being insensitive. If somebody take you to the hospital, you know, that's a different story. You're sick. But you don't have to give up to that demon of sickness. I'm going to show you that you don't have to. It says, every second, every minute, every hour of the day that we live, we are challenged. But the message said we are soldiers of the cross, and we are in a battleground called life. See, so we need these three things. Quickly, I want to go through to three things. The first one is ambition, and the second one is courage, and the third one is preparation. You're going to do those three things. Brother Branham says here, the true Easter seal. The Christian doesn't ask for easy things. Ooh. Do you want some easy things? You're in the wrong place, buddy. Who wants easy things? I don't even ask for an easy life. I'm glad my life, I mean, I like it easy, but Brother Van says the Christian doesn't ask for easy things. We are not there so much, so promised today. Today made among Christian people. So many ministers promise the people a false thing. If you just come to Christ and all your troubles are settled. I tell you, when you come to Christ, they begin. That's when you put out a uniform and take a gun. Not a real gun, a spiritual gun. See, not 238. Acts 238. Yeah, that was, anyway, forget it. Tell you, when you come to Christ, they begin. That's when you put on a uniform, take a gun, and enter to the battlefield. This Christian road is not flowers, bed of ease. It is a battle from the very hour you started. Amen. So if you come here and you're expecting something different, I'm telling you, there's nothing different. And if you have to blame somebody, don't blame the pastor. Blame Satan. He says, until your spirit says free by death. Right. So you're going to fight until your last fight. Like Paul said, I finished the race. Until you finish this race, you are going to battle. And your last battle will be what? Death. He said, you are not in a picnic. You are in a battleground. And so we are promised things. This is the kind of mentality that we need to have. The Christians should have. Ambition. You know what an ambition is? An earnest desire for something to be achieved. Okay? This is the thing that I got out of the definition. The willingness to strive for its attainment. That means you're going to seek earnestly. You're going to aspire for it until you get it. Listen, you don't put your hands in the plow and then look back. Once you start, you got to finish. There is no room for quitters here. There's no room for turning back. And when I came and God called me, I'm not turning back. Whatever happened, Brother Calvo, I'm going all the way in. Even if it kills me. That will be my end anyway. My end here. It says, so an ambition. You have to have an ambition. You know why people are homeless? Most of the things I've been reading about homeless and are there. You know what? They don't have no ambition. You got lawyers, doctors are there. You have all kind of people there. And the main thing, they ain't got no ambition. They lost it for whatever happened. I'm not blaming them. They lost it. If you don't have an ambition, if you don't have a desire to be something and become something, how are you going to become? That's why you need to have a vision. See? And focus yourself on the vision. You have to have an ambition to achieve the willingness to strive for and attain it. See? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all..." See? They're all running. So they are doing the very best. Once you enter the run, you have to do your very best to win. Because if you run a race and you say, "Well, I'm not going to win," then don't run, because you already lost anyway. You know? 80% is what? Something, and 10% is inspiration, whatever it is, or perspiration. Okay, anyway. You know? You have to have both. See, the place and the way that you can win is here first. Go and ask at the boxers. There's a lot of people like Clay and all these people, the fighters. They tell you the same thing. The fight is won here. You can have all the muscles. You can do all the training. You have to do all. You can do all the discipline, but that's only 50% of the thing. You know when you lose your battle, you know when they lose it? Here. See? So if you enter a race and you don't think you can win it, just stay home, because you are not going to win it. If you said you can, stay home. You can. If this is not going to take you, God is not going to take you all the way through and you're going to doubt, might as well just hang it up, because you are not going to finish. Because you have to trust God. You have got to have faith. That's the only thing that can please God, is to take him at his word. And then he says, "And you know that which run in the race run all." Say, "But one received the prize." I know that, and you know that. Only one can win. But you need to enter with a mentality, with a mindset that you are going to win. And you're going to do everything possible, physically and mentally, to win. Nothing less like that. Might as well stay home. He says, "But if you so run the race before thee with patience, that you may what? Obtain it." It's all a mindset. An ambition is all a mindset. How much do you want this? I can tell by dedication, discipline, the way we act, the way we do, the way we feel. I can tell you. I mean, you don't have to be an expert prophet. You know, how much do you want this? And we're going to get to the point that this is your training school here. How much do you want it? You got to be trained. A guy that's running a race, he trains. And he trains and he has other people to help him and train. You are here to what? To be trained to what? To win a race. Now, he said, and receive the prize. Says, so perseverance means persistence, determination, endurance. Patience means endurance, persistence, you know, determination. You know, I don't care what happened. I don't care what I have to do. I am determined. That is what I will do. It doesn't matter who, where, who come. I am determined to run this race and to finish. Not just to run it. I want to finish this race. That takes the edge out of everything. Because if you are not determined, if you are not persistent, and if you cannot endure this wrong. You're not going to make it. Now, of course, he that started the work, he will finish it. But you're going to got to do the taking and the running and the everything. It is your actions. Faith has to have action. He says, Brother Brown said, did you get that? See, our desire is not to be glorified. Our desire is not to some big name. Our desire is not to boast some church or make more on Sunday school or try to bring in hog tie, push in, offer picnic parties or bring stars, buttons, and something else like that. That's not our desire. Our desire is to see him, what? Glorified. Now, that is my determination. That is an ambition. An ambition is a desire that you want to accomplish, that you want to reach. And our desire should be that he gets glorified in everything we do. That just about covers everything. Glorify what? Not with the self-pride, but in us, our lives, to prove he's alive and living in us. What you do every day, what you said every day, whatever you do, it proves only one thing. It should prove only one thing, that he's alive. Amen. Everything that you do to bring glory and honor to God. And we all going to have to get there sooner or later. This is not about you, and this is not about your work, and this is not about your whatever you like, your car and your toys. This is about living a life that will bring glory to God. Are you determined that that is what your life is going to do from now on? He says, he is alive. To prove that he is alive. That's the challenge today. Because God is a spirit. And he's not going to come and show yourself to people, I'm alive, here I am. No, that's what you are here for. He's trying to prove in you that he is alive. And that he is real. So your walk, your talk, might as well convey to people that there is a God. But you don't have to worry about saying it because it is on him, on God, to prove it, on you. But you have to be determined. You have to have a desire that everything you do is to glorify him. When you come to church, you know, what are you saying? That God's go to church. This is God's idea. Okay? He says, to prove that he's alive. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. So we are not passively seeking God. I'm not passively going to church, or I might go if, you know, whatever. No. Diligent means that you are going to do whatever you can. You're going to put your best effort to do what you need to do. Whatever it takes, we do. And that means Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Oh, no, but church, that was man, okay. It's not hot and it's not cold. I don't care how I try to convince you, you are not going to believe because you're going to take me. I don't like it. It's too hot and I don't like to call. We are not going to agree in anything. So I will not try to convince anybody. I know one thing. I am determined to do whatever is asked of me by the word and by God so I can see him glorified in my body. This is not about me. This is about God in me. The manifestation of God, you know. Now, Brother Branham says here, and the second one is motivation. So ambition is a painful desire. Oh, I like that one. A painful desire that you have to what? To do what the word says we should do. See? Not that the word is a pain, but a painful desire. If I don't do this, I die. If I don't go to church, I die. If I don't pray, I die. If I don't read, I die. If I don't walk, I die. You know, because what? Because that is my desire. His desire in me will be done. Second is motivations. You know, because people got a lot of ambition. You can have a lot of ideas, but if you don't are not motivated, what good it is to have all those ideas and you can get up and do them. And a lot of people got to go, a lot of good ideas. But you better stop putting, you know, walk, moving towards those ideas. So you have to be motivated. So those ideas, that determination can be implemented somehow, you know. By thinking it's okay, you know, but it's good to think, yeah. But if your faith has no action, right, what good it is? Right. That tells me that your faith has no what? No work, no action. So you have to put action. Faith has action. So Brother Brown says over here, miracle, in second miracle, one day I kept poking it down, and it all left. He's talking about when he was sick of his stomach, and the doctor said, if you eat, you die. But then one day he sat at the table, there was corn bread, there was ham, there was this, there was tostones, and there was mofongo, and there was all kind of stuff, pinchos. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and he couldn't eat it. We said, you eat, you die. So he was eating this soup. He said he was about 80 pounds by then. But that day he says, you know what? I'm not looking at this no more. I'm not looking at my situation. I'm not looking at what the doctor is telling me. I'm not looking at it. My desire is to eat, to be in good health. You know, but that's what God wants you to. So he said, he read the Bible. He said, I'm going to take my what? So he did. He said, I poke. And he left. That means he, remember, he took the first one and he tried to bring it back up. And he just, when he swallowed it back again, and he ran outside, and the guy asked him, how well, and he's trying to vomit again, and he just swallowed it again. He says, I'm fine. Well, he says, I eat anything I want to, when on gain about 35, 40 pounds, I feel fine. Oh, he is a healer. But you have to show your faith in him. Amen. You have to be determined. That's why he says, believe it and it settles everything. Forget about the defibrillation, but forget about this and that and the food. And it is all depend on you, your mindset. He says, and don't you think, you are going to a picnic, but you are going to a battle on a battleground. That's right. You are not to a picnic where everything is handed down to you in a silver spoon. You got, if I must fight, I must reign. Increase my courage, Lord. So it's good to have an ambition, but you must have courage to move forward. You have to be brave like a soldier. You just cannot believe something. You cannot warm yourself on a far, picture. It has to be real to you. This is what we're doing here. Because character is a victory. It's not a handout. But everyone said, don't wait that they're going to hand out that to you. You know, you had to fight. You had to fight for what you want. Amen. You had to be determined. You had to have a mindset that you are going to get what he promised to you. You're going to get. And how do I know that you believe that? By the way you act. But everyone says, I ate. And I ate. And I don't care what happened. I ate until. See, so you're going to have to prove to yourself that the word of God works. I don't need to prove it to you. I prove it to myself every day. And you have to prove it to you and be determined to do whatever it takes, you know, to work. Courage. Courage with a purpose, you know, because you can't have courage and have no purpose. You have to have a purpose. The quality of the spirit that enable a person to face difficulties. This is what courage definition. The quality of spirit that enables a person to face difficulties. Danger, pain without fear. Brave. To act in accordance with your belief, especially in spite of the challenge that come our way. That's what courage means. Yeah. See? That it doesn't matter what challenge comes. This is what I believe. This is what I must stand on. And Satan come like a flood, but I am the standard. Here it is. God says, and I am the standard. Satan, yes, that might be true, but my standard is this one. I am healed because he healed me. Right? He paid the price. By his stripes, I am healed. You think I'm going to declare something different? You know, don't waste your time talking to the devil and arguing with the devil. Why don't you just take That time that you're going to waste, and just talk to God.
Amen.
You're wasting your time. Because the devil is not going to change. You're not going to change his mind. He's going to do what he's going to do. And you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Amen.
I'm going to take God at his word. Amen. Amen. So he says, Brother Van says here in Redemption by Judgment, you will get to the place where Brother Bill, I have so many temptations. Boy, we're talking about, it don't have to be disease or sickness. Tell me one Christian that doesn't have temptation. We never come to the picnic. We come to a battleground. We are out here to fight what? The enemy. He said, you're not here to just have a good time. You are here to fight. I bet those people don't hear me better than me talking about fighting. People been fighting the government. This is not about, you know, flesh and blood. This is about spiritual things that we're talking about. It says, we are here to fight the enemy. Why? Sure, we don't put on armor just to be looked at. He said, if you become a Christian just to be looked at, then you are, why? I am afraid you got in the wrong place. So, you have to have courage. That means that you have to face difficulties. You have to face challenges. You have to face everything without what? Fear. Believing that the word of God is going to work. You cannot doubt. Because fear will paralyze you. We paralyze the work of God. So we are not here to fear. See? The love of God casts away what? All fear. So whatever the devil trying to hand to you, don't fear it. I mean, it's there. Yeah, the doctor said you got cancer. Okay? Thank you, doctor. Are you done? Yes. That's all you're going to do? Yes. Go home and die. Here's some pills. Well, that's what I did to Brother Loop, a wife. They opened, they looked at her, said, it's too late, we can do nothing, she's done. It was all dark inside when they scoped her. He said, we can't see, we can't even hardly see. So here's some morphine and some pills, you guys take it home to die. But did she die? No. Why? Because somebody did not believe that was the outcome of the challenge. Amen. Somebody has to stand in the word. He says, I'm afraid you got in the wrong place. Now, we have an ambition. We have courage. We know what to do with the ambition we have. And we know that our ambitions, our desires, are not something that is, you know, that we made up. We know that this is real. I know this is real. Why? Because he's already have proven it to me. I'm not following no fables. I'm not following no things. I know that this is real. Method, the process, the preparation. Brevan says, now, that's people today. If you only see when I tell you about divine healing, you say, well, Brother Branham, look, I was prayed for last night and I cannot move my hands anymore. That don't have anything to do with anything, with nothing. Not a thing. It is yours. Go get it. Sure, God give it to you. Go get it.
Amen.
That's what the angel told John. Take it. You need to take it. Go get it. He says, then, he says, now the thing, Israelites, why? Sure, God just didn't get up there and take his brush and swept them out. All out says, see, now, come on in. See, God is not going to do things for you and open a door for you and take care of everybody and say, okay, we're done. That don't create character. If I do everything for my children, you know that they become incapacitated. Because when it's time for them to do something, they don't know how to do anything. So they need to learn. Now come in. Here you are. Sit down. Never did God do that. You show me your faith without your work. And I will show my faith by my work. You have to go do it. If you have to go and fight for every inch of ground that you have, every man in here that is born again of the Spirit of God knows that you had to fight for every inch of ground. See, to possess, you know, it probably not the hardest thing to do. It is to keep it. It's to sustain. You know, God will give you everything, but you're going to have to hold to everything that he gives you. You know, you're going to have to fight for your God-given rights. He gave them to you. He says, told to mark with Satan. Every man is here to be born again of the Spirit of God. Now that you have to fight for every inch of ground, told to mark with Satan. Isn't that right, friend? It is not a picnic. This is a battleground. See, we never come here to eat cookies. I like cookies. To eat cookies and so forth. We are in the battle. It says, could you imagine the United States Army training a man to sit around and eat cookies? Well, you laugh. But why is it good to be a Christian to come and just sit around and get fat? I'm not fat in the word, you know. Not fat in the other part. Brother Ron says, what, people buy these cages and they put animals and they give them all the nutrients and all the food and they get nice and big and shiny, you know, feathers and strong and nowhere to go. Can you imagine coming to church and enjoy the word and eat it and eat it and don't put it in action? I think we have a lot of Christians that are fat spiritually, not physically, because God give, and we don't do nothing with it. The reason you got, God gave you that life is for you to live it for him. That's all. He says, could you imagine Isaiah Armitage and a man around and cookies? So why? He gives him a uniform and his gun and train him to get out there and fight and defend the nation. And that's what we got to do. We have got to defend our God-given rights. What God said, it is ours. He says, let's stand right toe to toe with Satan. See, don't let that guy scare you. He said, they are ours. We believe them, and you just might as well move back because you haven't got no nothing. You haven't got. Satan has not got one legal right of anything. You know, no, he's just a bluffer. You know, he don't have no right to your body. He don't have no right to make you see. He don't have no right to anything. Now think about it. You got a right to life. You got a right to be in good health. You have the right to come to church. You have the right to live the life, to be free to choose his life and to live the life that he wants you to. You have that right. You know that Satan has no right on you. He cannot make no demands, but he's trying to fool you. Yeah, he's a good guy, you know, to try to convince you that you ain't got no right. I got right to life. I got right to have a wife, a good children. I have the right to do whatever he gives me. Joy. I got the right to be in good health every day. Amen. Don't let him bluff you. Amen. He says, Satan has got no legal right of anything. Every time his God is defeated, and the only thing he is a scarecrow. That's all. He cannot bother you. A man that's born of the Spirit of God, there's nothing at all that can harm him. So what do you get scared if suddenly you get a pain or you went to the doctor and said you got this and you got that? In fact, you should praise the Lord. Thank you, doctor. Now I know what I need to pray about. You know? We need to know. I'm not being insensitive. Sometimes we go to the doctor, we need to know. Now, I'm almost done, guys. And I'm not. I said I was going to finish in half hour after 9. Okay. Now, Satan can push things over on you, and you keep shoving you out and shoving you out. If I went to my house tomorrow night and I look up there, and they are moving to my house was a big bunch of people and they were drunk and prostitutes and carrying on. Why? I put them out. Well, how are you going to do it? They said, I'm a human. Yeah, I cannot do it. In my own merits, I cannot do it. I'm not a good match for Satan. I know that. He said, this house made for human. I can live here too. See, I am a human. This house is made for humans, and I can live here too. I said, this belongs to me. This is my legal possession. I have got an abstract deed here, and it's clear. I don't belong to Satan. I belong to God. I have an abstract deed here in the courthouse that showed that I belong to me. And you cannot stay here any longer. And I serve notice on them, and they have to move. If they didn't, there's a law down that I will then move and make them move. Is that right? Well, anything that Satan puts upon you, in the way of sickness or whatever, it is you. Every born-again person has an abstract warrant, has a warrant from God, and the Holy Spirit is here to put any devil out. Yes. Yes. Now, what part of that you don't understand? Yeah, but I know you feel it. I know. But it's all a bluff. He needs to move. He needs to go. You want to come to church and you're sick, then you blow him out. Satan, I don't know what you're playing, but I'm going to church. Because that is what God desires. I'm not going to stay here and be miserable, because that's what happens. You stay home, you get more miserable. I know. That's how it works. You think, well, it's better if I stay home and then I can rest. You know what? You won't rest all night, because you're going to wrestle with that pain all night. I know, I'm human. I know how it goes. So don't ever get that in your head. For I become a Christian to fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle line. We are Christian soldiers, and we got to be trained and brought up. And now all the techniques of the enemy to know how to fortify. See, that's why we come to church, to know our enemy, so we can learn how to fortify ourselves and fight. This is a training quarters. You are soldiers. We're training you. So when you go out there, you'll know how to fight. But if you don't want to be trained and you don't come, how are you going to fight? That's why we have so many people that don't come to church. Why? Because when you by yourself, you know, if one can chase 1,000, 2 can chase 10,000. And if you come to church, this is your training quarters. This is how we teach you what to expect, what to do. He says, but God says, we cannot take what some other nation tell us when we got to war, some of their ideas, but we got to take our own ideas, the way the Holy Spirit would direct us. And that is what I am so happy, and I'm so that this ministry, this church is directed by the Holy Spirit. And as far as I know, that hasn't changed. The only reason I'm here is because God sent me here. Amen. And that settled everything to me. Amen. Listen, the family can leave. You know, wife can leave. Not my wife. This is just an example. You can lose everything. But I know this is what I'm supposed to be. Amen. This is what God sent me. And that settled the whole thing. And if I decide that I don't like this church, I want to go to another place, how do you know where to go? I mean, if you're going to play the game, that you're going to intellectually figure things out on your own abilities and in your own thing and your smartness and wisdom, where are you going to go? You don't even know. You figure something out. When you get there, you got to figure something else. You know what? Because it didn't work out. God has a perfect word. Do you think you can do better? Do you think that you can figure things out in your own life, what to do and what not to do? No. But you got more faith than I have, because I need him every day. Amen. I need him every day for everything. Jehovah's Witness, you know, they got more faith than I have, because they believe that the Holy Spirit is some light, and they believe all the things that it takes more faith to believe what they believe than what I believe. It don't take much that I believe that God is going to do for me, and that's all, and that settles. Amen. He says, but we got to take our own ideas the way the Holy Spirit would direct us and what idea he would give us, because he is the commanding chief of the army of Christians. Amen. It's not your idea, it's not your intellect, it's not your medic. I don't care if you're the strong or you're the wiser or you're the better. It has nothing to do with that. The Holy Ghost has to direct you and tell you. You pray about it in every situation. Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown said, there may be those who have grown weary in the way. Let me see if I read this one. Let me read Deceived Church. A Deceived Church, by the word, it says, remember, we are not in a picnic, but we are in a battlefield. Many people just think that when they become a Christian, that they need, all they need to do that settles is forever as the Christians and everything going to come easy. Don't ever get that thing in your head. For I become a Christian to fight the good fight. Become Christian to get in the battle line, see? I think I read you that one, sorry. I jumped. Okay. Stand, because I'm almost finished, you know, I'll keep you more. You can stand, I'm almost done. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 9:11, right quick. A couple of scriptures here and I finish. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, one. Not the battle is to the strong, two. Neither is to the wise, three. Not the riches to the man understanding, not yet favor to men of skills, but time and chance happens to them all. I don't care how smart you are, how good you are, how pretty you are, what color you are, how smart you are, and how wise you are. You know what? That don't guarantee you anything. You might think that guarantees you anything, that you have some rights, but you know, that don't guarantee you nothing. We like to think that the best always is going to win. See, that's why they teach you right there, that the stronger, you know, the fittest, you know, always survive. But you know what? Everything that I have said about having an ambition, having a desire, having a motivation, having courage, and having and coming to church to be trained, all that is what we need to do. But one thing you cannot leave out. And that is God. Because it's not by might, but it's by His Spirit, said the Lord. So you can do mechanically all things that I just said. But if God is not in it, it's not worth anything. Amen. You have to depend on God for all your needs. Ecclesiastes says that the race don't belong to the smart, or to the wise, or to the strong. Why? Because things happen. Things happen. So, if we are going to look at this the right way, we don't need to think that the strongest is going to win, and they are going to deserve, the stronger is going to deserve, and the wise is going to deserve the better reward. When you run a race, if you think that the stronger is going to win, then what are you going to run a race? If you think that guy is wiser than you and smarter than you and more skillful than you, then what are you entering into the race for? But you know who is the judge of everything? It's God. God decides who wins and who loses. It has nothing to do with how good you are or how strong you are or how wise you are, because God is the judge. And He decides who wins and who loses. So you cannot depend on your own merits for this race. You still have to depend on God to give you the strength. See, sometimes with all these skills that I have mentioned, you know, and people expect that, you know, I'm that good, I should be able to win. And sometimes those experiences don't ever realize in their life. Because everything that there is for chance, by chance. See? If we are not careful, see, to ask God to protect us, our fear can cripple us as much as our enemy. No matter how prepared we may be for a crisis, The power of God is the ultimate factor to determine whether we win or we lose. So God always had to be ahead. The Holy Spirit had to always be leading and guiding. You and I will do all what we can do mechanically, but God is the one that has the last word. Romans 9:16. So then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that what? Show mercy. So I'm so glad this tonight that we are in the winning team. We are not in the losing team. There's no losers over here, but winners. Why? Because God is our captain, is the host, the general. I always go in front of us. So we are in the winning team. We are soldiers with Christ, having Christ's mindset, having Christ's ambition. Christ is all to us. See? He motivates me. His word motivates me. His words give me courage. His word give me faith. His word gives me purpose. And everything that I am and everything that I know, he gave it to me to fight a good fight. And tonight you're here because you want to fight a good fight. And here you're learning how to do that. Amen. His mercy. In spite of what we do and in spite of what we don't do, it is God's mercy that is going to carry us all the way through. But sometimes I don't do the right things. I don't make the right choices. Sometimes I fall. Sometimes I do the wrong acts. But in spite of myself, in spite of me, in spite of you, God will have a bride. God will have a son and a daughter. Jesus will have a bride. So you cannot dismay. You cannot lose. If your son and daughter got full with the Holy Ghost, you cannot lose. All you have to do is put yourself in his hand and run the race until the end. God has provided everything that you need to go from here to heaven. In the Holy Ghost, you have everything that you have need. So this is my friend. You don't have to figure this out. You don't have to see when, how, to reason it, to logic. Everything you have need is in you right now. And you have the Holy Ghost. All you have to do is claim. You have the right to claim. And the Holy Ghost will make sure it happens. You don't have to do nothing. All you have to do is believe. Only if you're sick tonight, you know somebody's sick, if you're going through anything, if the devil is challenging you, whatever, you don't have to go through that. Oh, but that's easy to say. Well, at one point it wasn't, but I can say it now. Because I have lived longer than many of you, and I have gone through my share, and I'm still going through my share of tests and challenges. And you know one thing? God has never failed me. And he will not fail you tonight. If you take him at his word. Listen, you have the right. You have the right to claim every promise. And Satan knows that. But he's trying to make you believe that you don't deserve it. That you are not worthy. But you know what? Tell Satan to find his way. Not to run by somebody else, but he needs to find his way where he belongs. You need to be healthy. I'm 72, and I look better than some of you are 50. And I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging. The only one that sustains me every day is God. I pray for my food. I know, John, you look better than me anytime. Me and John got some things going all the time. Anyway, listen. I didn't even know I was going to last this long. And I would be standing here in my 2 feet, and I don't have any pain right now. In the morning, I will suffer the pain of standing here, you know, I'm preaching. But right now, I'm telling you something. Right now, I'm telling you is that God is my all in all. And it's His mercy and His grace that I am standing here tonight. Amen. To Him be all glory and all honor. Amen. What are we singing? What is it? This is my... Oh, yeah. Honor God with everything you do. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Be challenged, and you're going to be challenged when you walk out of these doors. But believe me, you already won. You need to believe that you already won. Satan lost, and we already won. I know the end of the story. I know the back of the book. I know how it started, and I know one thing. We win. He loses.